No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello and welcome. So let's hop into this. There's a ton of free agents still out there. And one guy that we've talked about quite a bit to potentially make a home in the National League West, particularly out with the Giants, Northern Grower 4466. Unfortunately, don't think that's happening. Who knows? We're all hoping Sasaki... At least Sasaki actually made it to Toronto, unlike Shohei. So
that's true. There was like grainy video of him throwing at the Rogers Center. So he was there. He actually was on the ground. He got to experience it. I imagine that's similar to, you know, the Tokyo Dome. And so a couple, you know, indoor experiences. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will kind of make him feel good and say, all right, well, I got Japan on my back, and now I'm going to have all of Canada on my back here in Toronto. Again, you can find a narrative. You can find a story to make it work.
Yeah, the work. But top free agent that we've been talking about is Pete Alonso, who's still waiting on a decision for a Pete. And he's been connected, or at least we've connected him with the San Francisco Giants. But does he fit anywhere in this National League West of making the most sense? That's what it seems like. The Giants kind of are that top pick. I know Kenneth and I had talked about that as a big one, but there's a couple of places he could fit in to help out here in the National League West.
Yeah, that's going to be the bulk of this conversation, is where can these guys fit in the National League West. And yeah, I think San Francisco, they've already been linked, as you and Kenneth had talked about a few weeks ago, that could be the spot, you know, for him. So I think they would love to upgrade, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, super agent Scott Boras is, you know, there was like a 3-year deal floated to the New York Mets. So now if it's going to be something that's short term like that, you might be able to make that work and say, all of a sudden, you know, we do have a window of contention. The next 3 years, we can go to the postseason. Do we want to do that here, San Francisco Giants? And I think if you put Pete Alonso in the middle of that order as your first baseman, and you still got a DH spot, if defensively he starts to deteriorate in a major way, I think he fits really well. I know the Padres don't have themselves a first baseman right now. I mean, Luis Arraez is probably going to be penciled in there. Jake Cronenworth, they do want to shave some money with Arraez and possibly trade him since he's going to be a free agent. So yeah, I don't know that you can have your cake and eat it too and get rid of Arraez and then bring in Pete Alonso. So if there's any team in the NL West, I think that the polar bear has a good fit. It's one of the coldest places in the summer, Oracle Park in San Francisco. As Mark Twain said, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. And those winds can certainly be chilly. I think the polar bear might feel at home there.
Yeah, because he brings a lot of power into that lineup that the Giants need. And it's part of Buster Posey's desire to continue to build up that team. You know, Buster played a big part in luring Justin Verlander there to San Francisco. So he fits in pretty nicely there. Right-handed hitters have a little bit more of an advantage there, not having to deal with the big wall in the bay out there. Gets a little better to hit the pole. And trying to look up his stats there in San Francisco. Where is it? See if how
wanna,
he's
we
done
can publicly, stuff. If you want, we can do a public game of search, hurry up and search and see who's better on finding statistics.
Oh, I found it already.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
In Oracle Park, he's got a 910 OPS, 603 slugging. One of his lower places among the top ones, but He's only been there for 75 plate appearances, but he's got 7 home runs, 21 ribbies. So a decent amount of success there in a limited sample size out in San Francisco, much more than he has in San Diego in just about the same amount of playing time. Yeesh.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like you said, with Alonso, that's probably being a middle of the pack ballpark for him, but for the Giants, you can have a 9-10 OPS again, not an insignificant sample size, still relatively small. We are talking about power hitter like Pete Alonso, but 9-10, like how many guys have hit 9-10 at Oracle Park in its, you know, the building's lifetime? Barry Bonds, yes. Jeff Kent, maybe for a season or two. Rich Aurelia for that 1 year. But otherwise, like, yeah, the Giants very much could use a bat like that in the middle of their order.
Yeah, because it's like we've talked about before, Lamont Wade Jr. is kind of the one slotted in, and you can certainly do better there. After signing Verlander, their offensive upgrade seems to be the top go-to. And Alonso, you can either stick him at first or, like you said, slot him in at DH. Either way, you're going to get some offense out of him. And, hey, who doesn't need offense these days? But I do like that question from Isaac of the over-under. If he went to the Rockies, we already have a first baseman over there in Colorado. His name's Michael Tolia, or Chris Bryant on a good day if you're feeling dangerous. But over under 45.5 homers for Pete Alonso if he's on the Rockies.
Over. Yeah, definitely. You definitely would like the over on that. I mean, look, that it seemed like Pete Alonso was going to win every single home run derby, and he hasn't. The last one that he won was Coors Field. So, I mean, it has a fond place in his heart. Absolutely. So, yeah, I could see him trading in the blue and orange for the purple and black.
It's still crazy that the Rockies have never had a 50 home run hitter. Mm-hmm. And so the closest was 49 by both Todd Helton and Larry Walker. I'm hesitant because we always think, oh, a guy's going to come to Coors and he'll hit nothing but bombs. We've seen power hitters sign and come to the Rockies and numbers go down. I don't know whether it's their mentality or they just get infected with whatever plagues the Rockies offense, but he would put up a career high in ground ball rate. He'd go the complete opposite direction.
You could at least, you know, live stream and maybe have a pay-per-view or PLE, just charge people to watch him take batting practice.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. There are less Rockies now than there was in the last, you know, 45 years ago that it's fun to watch them take batting practice. But yeah, Alonso taking BP at Coors Field each and every day certainly would be great. Too bad fans don't get a chance to an opportunity to see that anymore.
Yeah. Here's the one I was thinking of too, for quite a while. You know, what about Arizona? I know they went out and got Josh Naylor, so they're pretty locked down there on their infield, but he always seemed like an intriguing option, an outside option for the Diamondbacks to fill in as a DH or something of that nature. Cause right now on their depth chart, Pavin Smith may be slotted in as projected as their starting DH, Josh Naylor, first base. He always seemed like a possibility of, I could see him fitting in there.
But no, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I could see that fitting. Cause again, okay, Naylor's there now, but he won't be there next year, more likely than not. And
yeah,
you hope he has that great year, qualifying offer. All right, go ahead, play somewhere else. And then you get a draft pick. I could see that working. And then you turn the keys over to Alonso right after that. Naylor has spent a little bit of time in the outfield, you know, in the corners, not a ton. These last couple seasons, last year, wasn't out there at all, but one game in 2023, 5 in 2022, 51 in 2021. So, you know, going out there as a free agent after this season, that could certainly increase his value if he has a little bit of flexibility. So you might not totally have to lose the DH spot if Alonso's going to be there a majority of the time, but I could see that happening. I think that's a decent comp. And look, the way that I feel like the NL West has been operating, at least with the four teams outside of the Rockies, every move that one team makes feels like it's not just an answer to a move that another team has made, but it's almost, we're making this move to block you. We're making this move to make sure you don't get this player or you don't acquire this player. And that was something that transpired a lot in the 2000s between the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees were more of the haves. The Red Sox were the have-nots, despite the fact that they were an evil empire unto themselves. But it was a lot more about, you know what, let's acquire this player because he would fit in way better on that other team. And so if the Diamondbacks could do something like that and take away a major bat that would provide such an impact to the Giants, I could see a move like that happening with GM Mike Hazen.
Yeah, because we're just trying to figure out what Alonso's going for. Like you mentioned, a shorter-term deal he may be more amenable to, but it's still, there's a gap in there somewhere. And so right now with the Mets, maybe around 3 years with at least one opt-out. I think Cody Bellinger deal, or like Matt Chapman before he signed his extension with the Giants, but his initial deal there with the Giants, I think that's where Pete Alonso's sitting in that ballpark. And if a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks could swoop in, I'm sure they could do something like that, but they're already pushing the top of their payroll. So they'd have to move a Montgomery or a Rodriguez to open up some of that money to do that. But I think plenty of these teams could afford him if they got crafty enough.
Yeah, like you said, 3 years with an opt-out after the first year. So, hey, look, you've got an opportunity to still have some good money coming to you in 26, 27. But you know what? If you run it back and you have another fantastic all-star type season in 2025, you can opt out. And then now maybe teams are more likely to give you 4+ years.
Mm-hmm. So Pete Alonso, we'll see where the polar bear is going, but he feels like a deal any day now. It's getting close. And then maybe once he comes off the board, it might open up a little bit more in the free agent market. Feels a little clogged again. Because after we got Juan Soto out, there was a big flurry of moves. And now it's kind of clogged back up again while we wait for Sasaki and some other stuff.
And maybe Sasaki is even clogging some of it, right? Where teams saying we might need to focus on this. And a lot of teams are out of it now. It's just Jays, Padres, Dodgers. But we know that the Giants are trying to engage and get in on that. So it very well could be a lot of, well, we only have so many resources right now. Okay, Sasaki has kind of moved on unless you're one of those three finalists. Okay, now we can go ahead and really start discussing once again, do we want to make a play for Pete Alonso or the guy we're about to talk about next who can play a couple more premium defensive positions other than just first base and DH?
Yeah, so we've got Alex Bregman, the top third baseman free agent on the market right now. And he's still bouncing around. There's a lot of talk of, will he go to the AL East, maybe the Red Sox? No, I think the Blue Jays are like, yeah, we probably won't make a run for him. But you never know. Still could be a thing. But the team in need of a third base, I think Los Angeles still feels like if they don't get Sasaki, they still always feel like they have another big move up their sleeve. Does Bregman fit in with the Dodgers there at third base?
That's Skylar Timmons at @sideline_crowd floating a thing out there that no one has floated out anywhere. No one wants to be floated out. Bregman to the Dodgers. I mean, yeah, it can happen. Why not? The Dodgers are spending big money, and he's already been tied to a couple teams that have made certain comments about, you know, the Houston Astros and, all right, are they going to be able to play nicely? I think they are. They're going to be able to let bygones be bygones and still talk a little bit of crap, you know, after the fact. So, you know, Muncy's there and, you know, they're going to have some flexibility with some other their infielders. But could that be a fit, again, on some kind of contract that allows him a couple opt-outs? I think that very well could be some of it too. Nolan Arenado's market, I think, is wrapped up a little bit in Bregman, where teams can save some money going the Arenado route. Does he really want to get traded? Is it only to, you know, those handful of teams that he said? Apparently he is a little bit more willing. The Cardinals haven't done anything yet this offseason, just nothing. And so all of these are dominoes that are very much intertwined. And so, you know, Bregman to the Dodgers, that seems like maybe too big of a move.
Yeah.
But again, can they afford it? Absolutely. Can they plug him in and be a good fit over at third base? Because Muncy's only got, I believe, this season going for – actually, I think he might have a $10 million option for next year, believe it or not, just a series of $10 million options in perpetuity. But still, would he be a great fit and be a perfect leader for the Dodgers? Absolutely. I could see something like that happening. And like you said before, with Pete Alonso, could he almost be a surprise signing by the Diamondbacks? You might even say the same thing about Alex Bregman, because Eugenio Suarez after this year is going to be gone. And, you know, if Jordan Lawler is your shortstop, you know, does Geraldo Perdomo probably doesn't have enough power to be a fixture over at third base. So maybe Bregman is able to slide in there at third base, a guy who is an Albuquerque, New Mexico native. I guess that's his hometown team. If the Rockies are Chris Bryant's hometown team and he's from Vegas, then I would absolutely say that the Diamondbacks are Bregman's hometown team. And then so are the Padres and Dodgers. I mean, it's only a couple more hours after that too.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And I feel like third base is pretty locked up in the NL West. The Dodgers are the only one with kind of a question. They got to figure out who among their billions of infielders and their most recent signing of Hyesung Kim. So who knows? And Arenado's, who knows what's going on there? It's been a drama for Arenado and the Cardinals. But Bregman could figure out somewhere, but I don't know if he fits in with the National League West right now, because everybody's kind of locked up for this year, and I'm not sure they want to commit the money he's probably looking for.
In a different world, in a different time, you know, I think Bregman would be a good fit for the Rockies. Again, Southwest guy, so coming from Albuquerque, okay, there's a little bit of connection, a little bit of pull there. But you say a guy who's been a leader in the past and has been on a lot of winning clubs, and you know, McMahon is obviously there. It seems like they're going to be keeping him. And we'll wait and see if we do that song and dance again at this year's trade deadline. If will they or won't they? McMahon could slide over to second base. Bregman also has expressed a willingness to move to second base. So again, in a different timeline, there is a world in which I think Bregman and the Rockies certainly could make sense, but we are not in that timeline right now in 2025. Yeah.
And so we run short on time here. There is one free agent I wanted to talk about here before we close out here, Patrick. And this is one of the more intriguing ones to me. Anthony Santander could be a huge offensive boon down in the desert with the Snakes or out in the Bay with the Giants. Everybody loves a power hitter. You can get a switch hitter who I don't know if he's going to get as big of a deal as some of the other guys on this list. So maybe a little bit, just a tiny bit more affordable. But I like Santander, and I would love for somebody to be able to pick him up here in the National League West. He's an interesting name.
For sure. And we're at that point now of the offseason where these free agents have lost a lot of leverage, especially when you consider the fact that because they all received a qualifying offer, Nick Pivetta is the only other one that rejected a qualifying offer. Any team that they sign with is going to be losing at least one draft pick coming up in 2025 and all of the money that goes along with that high round draft pick. And so all of a sudden you're thinking, well, we do like the player, but we don't like what we have to give up. We're fine giving up money, but now we're giving up an asset. Now we're giving up prospect capital that all of a sudden we aren't necessarily as excited about giving up. And so that makes it a lot harder to find a home. You have to find that team where, you know, you are going to be, you know, maybe that last and final piece, but only if you say yes to this particular number versus what you might want out there. And so it's interesting. It seems like every offseason we find that place where there are those guys that they're not the bottom of the barrel as far as free agents are concerned, by no means. But I guess they're at the bottom of the qualifying offer barrel as the four guys you might have the most questions about. I wouldn't have pegged Alex Bregman as one of those players necessarily, but they're the guys that you pause a little bit when you think, well, not only do I have to part with this money here, but I got to give up some draft picks. And I think that's where it makes it so difficult. Santander, I think, is probably, you know, the best bet for someone alongside Bregman. I think that's going to age, you know, a lot nicer than Pete Alonso. And anytime you're dealing with a pitcher, you don't know how that's going to end up for them. But Santander has made a lot of growth at the major league level, going from a Rule 5 pick to a guy that's 44 home runs and a very cavernous Camden Yards, especially when you look at what they were dealing with out in left field. So I think he still has that upside. He still has a lot of great baseball left in him. San Francisco, as you said, becomes a really good fit in that way. Arizona, you could probably throw him out there as well. Yeah, it would be great seeing him a couple times every year at Coors Field, because he hasn't had a ton of opportunities with the Orioles so far.
Yeah, because he's got that switch hitting power, which you love to see. And there's that talk where he's open to maybe a shorter term deal. Initially was looking for like a little bit more longer term, but they've made it known, hey, I'll take a shorter term deal, which has become a lot more popular the last couple of years. The short-term deal with a high average annual value. You know, we saw Teoscar Hernandez with the Dodgers last year. It was like a 1 year, $20 million or something with the deferred money, and then has a nice year, and then he gets a nice little contract again in free agency with the Dodgers to return. Santander could follow suit, and mentioned he is hindered a little bit by that qualifying offer, and that always gives teams some pause. But still, some of those teams, even on a one-year deal, you know, if the Diamondbacks can move a Jordan Montgomery and just take that money and apply it to Santander for a year, boom, you've got yourself a nice DH option, plays occasional outfield, and a switch hitter. Good stuff there.
Get in. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're here talking about where these free agents could possibly go. And yeah, we're at, you know, towards the end of the off season, and most of the best options have, you know, found a home, but we keep bringing up the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's crazy that we're in a world in which we're not talking about the Diamondbacks in this conversation. They should be in every conversation for everything. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're really not. They do seem to have somewhat more of a set roster right now, and it might be more minor moves. But yeah, the Diamondbacks have just been such a surprise team right now with the way they've gone about to spend and really invest in their club, despite having issues with their TV deal. Padres too, you could lump them into that group. And, you know, I don't think their fate's going to change, but perhaps if they are able to figure something out and trade Arraez or, you know, someone else to clear up a little bit of money, you might see them jump in at the last minute, like you said, on one of these shorter term deals and say, eh, we're giving up a qualifying offer, but you know what? We're giving up a draft pick since these guys rejected a qualifying offer. Look, we'll find a different prospect to take that prospect's place, and we'll still end up trading that prospect that took the prospect's place. So it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. We're just going to trade all of our prospects. So you know what? We're okay signing Santander or whoever.
Yeah, but hopefully he finds a nice home. But one of those teams, he's like I just said, he seems built for the NL West, and a lot of good places for a power hitter to hit here in the NL West. But so many more free agents that we won't get to tonight, but plenty of time in the offseason. Spring training's about a month away, Patrick. We're getting there. Down to the wire. Are you getting prepped for your trip down to Arizona?
A little bit. Now that the pitchers and catchers date has been reported, February 13th. It's weird. I think I might be in the minority. I kind of like spring training, at least from the journalist reporter side, when there aren't games, because everybody's in the same place. Mm-hmm. It's still the first days, so there's still that luster that's there, and it's still new. Everyone's getting back. Because once the games start, guys are getting all over the place. Someone's jumping on a bus. What? We needed a third backup catcher. Okay, get on the bus. All right, we'll get you your equipment. Like, it gets a little bit crazy and all over the place. But, yeah, I'm excited to go back down and see what the Rockies are doing. Got some conversations with Just Baseball. You know, how much more Dodgers coverage and stuff they want. I certainly won't pass up an opportunity to go down to Camelback Ranch and see what they're doing. And all the reporters, and it's even when there's not games, it feels like there's 20,000 people just mm-hmm. walking around that complex because the fans, and you wouldn't know, like it's a Tuesday. Like, does anybody have jobs mm-hmm. out in Arizona? Nobody's working in Phoenix. It's kind of great though. I'm not going to lie, but I'm excited. And then even after a month after everybody reports, hey, we got a Tokyo series. We got Cubs Dodgers too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baseball is right around the corner. And for the coverage of the National League West, you can always find us here. Best of the West. Looking at typically every Wednesday. I think we're keeping that schedule going forward, and keep a lookout on the Blake Street Banner social media feeds over on Twitter and Blue Sky. I guess it's called X, but whatever. And over on YouTube and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Patrick, where can the folks find you?
At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Doing the Rockies Insider podcast. Listen to it. Follow the YouTube channel. And also just launched last month the Rockies Insider newsletter. Having a lot of fun with that. Not a ton of Rockies news necessarily, but plenty in and around Denver, and the state of Colorado, you know, former ball players that were raised in Colorado or chose Colorado at the end of their life and died there. I wrote about that in the last newsletter, looking at, you know, previous transactions that have transpired. That's always interesting. Ketchy Yabu. You got anything on Ketchy Yabu, Skyler?
Is that a Pokemon?
That was a Japanese pitcher that the Rockies actually signed to a minor league deal. And he was given a major league invite. Those are the kind of weird, interesting transactions I'll write about. Talking about baseball cards too, like some all-time great baseball cards. I stole the concept. I will admit that from someone. I don't know if you've ever seen this person on Instagram. They'll take like modern cards and say, okay, what game was this photograph taken of so-and-so making a full extension grab? And by looking at the different uniforms, because there's a couple websites that will actually show you on what date, what the uniform that the team wore, looking at the pants, are they home, are they away? And so just happened to write about a Brenton Doyle catch that was easy to figure out what the play was, what the date, and quite possibly the first ever photograph from a Rockies game, Andres Galarraga, on the first ever game, April 5th, 1993, at Shea Stadium, trying to figure out the play. Did he get a base hit? Was it a line out? That's just a lot of fun stuff. That's some of the things I do at the Rockies Insider newsletter.
Cool stuff. And if you ever find weird, interesting Rocky stuff on eBay, send it Patrick's way.
Well, I don't usually buy it, but I like
he likes putting looking it on
my watch list. I will say that. That is always interesting.
Yeah. Did we show you the picture of the big, giant, thick dinger statue?
No.
It's like a commemorative from like 2002 or something. It is he is a thick dinger. Like big, he looks like Grimace cosplaying as a dinosaur.
What was being commemorated by this figure?
I think it was just a big statue.
Wow.
It was weird. But yeah, we had some fun laughing at that one. He is a big, thick dinosaur. Not this Ozempic looking dinosaur we have now.
He looks more like a Brontosaurus now that he's a healthy
dinosaur.
You need to tag in Joelle Milholm because she's great, amazing research. I wonder, you know, put her on the case. Maybe they would have. Maybe they were trying to get rid of the statue of the player in front of Coors Field, and they were going to have a bronze dinger in front. I don't know, but if that's real, Joelle will find out.
There you go. But you can find me over on Twitter at @sideline_crowd. You can go find me on Blue Sky as well, stimmons13, wsky.social. And then writing stuff over at purplerow.com every week, as well as fansfirstsports.com, and dropping podcasts over with Rocky Mountain Rooftop as well. Patrick, we actually released an episode of Every Rocky Ever again. It's been a little while. We're busy lives, but we got one out of Big Daddy and Little Pony, the number 5. It was a fun conversation. But you can find that in our, just this whole Rockies podcast ecosystem. We all take care of one another and follow along as we cover that team and cover here the National League West. But until next time, this has been Best of the West. I'm Skyler. That's Patrick. Remember, the best is yet to come.